This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Jim Heppelman.
How are you, Jim?
I'm great. How are you, Robert?
Good. And Jim is the CEO of PTC, which is one of the fastest growing technology companies right now. And it's doing really interesting work, I would say, at the intersection of AR and IoT. But how do you really differentiate yourself in such a crowded technology space?
Well, Robert, 30 years ago, we really started the company around the idea of computer-aided design, 3D modeling. And the idea was to come up with a digital model of something that, once you got the model right, would become a physical product. So we're deep in the whole idea how you develop products digitally, then manufacture them into physical assets. What we've done in the last 5 years is spend a lot of time thinking about how do you take that physical asset, add sensors to it, and connect it up to the internet such that we can get data from it and bring data from the physical product back into the digital world and combine it actually with the DNA of the product that we defined in the first place. So we have some competitors who might compete with us on the digital to physical, and we might have some competitors who compete with us on the physical to digital. But this combination of a digital twin for a physical asset and information flowing in both directions is very unique to PTC.
And you're really combining 2D with 3D in a sense, and that's your space where you are the leader in that.
Yeah, we pioneered the idea that you should model things in 3D because that's the real representation. If you need to create 2D drawings for documentation purposes, okay, fine. But think of a submarine as a collection of 2D drawings. I mean, you need to assemble that in your brain, and it's very difficult for an average human to be able to accurately construct a 3D model from 2D information in their brain. So by making a 3D model, we can make sure all the parts fit together and all the wires are routed in the right place and so forth. So 3D is a very powerful medium to design in because you're sure that the design will be manufacturable when the time comes.
And just to clarify, the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality has to do very much with that.
It does. Well, I mean, we got to look at the word reality. Because in virtual reality, you're actually substituting a fake world. The reality has been virtualized or made artificial. In the case of augmented reality, you're putting digital information on the real world. So in one case, you're putting digital information on the real world that's augmenting reality. In the other case, you're throwing the real world away and creating a fantasy world that's virtual reality. These are both interesting techniques. I think probably augmented reality is ultimately more powerful. If I want to show you how to change the oil in your car, I can overlay the oil change procedure on your actual car. But maybe before you do that, I want to give you a training simulation. So I'll simulate the whole car in virtual reality and show you how you would change the oil when there is no car, simply by simulating or virtualizing the whole idea of a room with a car in it, and your job is to go change the oil.
Well, you're definitely in the growth area for everyone. You can see this just explode, so that's exciting.
Yeah, these are very powerful techniques for businesses, for sure.
So I want to ask you, you did something unconventional that few CEOs do. You partnered with Harvard Business Review, with Michael Porter, actually, the illustrious Michael Porter, and you've done already your third article with him. What's your thinking behind, here you are a CEO, going into this whole thought leadership area?
You know, first of all, I got to know Michael when he was a director on our board some years ago. And he was on our board for quite a long time. But as I was becoming CEO, he was retiring from the board. But he's a strategic thinker. And I like to think of myself as...
He is a seriously strategic thinker. I've read a lot of his stuff.
He is the top of the top. But I like to think of myself as a technical visionary. So he and I would spend time talking about how would these technologies be used by a company to further their competitive advantage. And we got riffing on that and realized it's a special combination because I have feet on the ground, fingers in the technology. I understand the technology deeply. I have thousands of customers I know. He, on the other hand, has unbelievable frameworks and a critical eye for what does this really mean. So when you put the two of us together, I think you get a very interesting story that neither of us could have done independently, but together it's pretty darn good work.
This is Robert Reese speaking on the CEO Forum with Jim Heppelman, and he is the CEO of PTC, one of the faster-growing companies and the one company that is at the intersection of augmented reality and IoT. So that's the next thing I really want to talk about with you. When you look at IoT, people say there are 25 billion devices that could be connected. You're taking that, and then you're taking augmented reality, and we spoke before about the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality, 2D, 3D, and you're combining these together. What really happens at the intersection of the Internet of Things and augmented reality?
Yeah, well, Internet of Things means we get data from these billions of assets, right? Where these assets are things that we don't normally think of as computers. They might be automobiles or trucks or garbage cans or refrigerators or cattle. You know, all of these are sources of information that
even a bottle of milk these days.
Even a bottle of milk. We can bring that information from the physical world into the digital world. Now, part of the problem is that while we have so much more digital information available to people, the ability of people to process this information actually hasn't improved much. So how do we convey information more quickly to people? Well, a good way to do it is to make it graphical, but take it off the screen and put it in context. If I'm looking at five cattle, make the one that's sick glow red. When I look at them, I know right away that that cattle has a problem, and maybe I'd ask for more information with a voice command or something. So augmented reality is about taking this digital information and overlaying it onto your view of the physical world. Overlay a service instruction, overlay a manufacturing instruction, help you identify which thing to pick up from the warehouse and put in your cart to fulfill an order. It's a powerful concept, and it's really about giving people the ability to process digital information far better than ever before. It's putting your very best sense, which is your vision, to work as if it were a computer port right into your brain.
So let's take an example of that, because this is pretty heady stuff, but in 5 years this is going to be, you know, day in, day out, what our kids are talking about. Let's take automotive industry.
Yep.
Give me an example of a challenge the automotive industry has faced, and how working at the intersection of Internet of Things and augmented reality can help.
Yeah, well, a good example is Ford Motor Company uses augmented reality to augment a design change onto an existing automobile. So there's an automobile in front of you, a physical automobile. You can touch it and feel it and so forth. And you say, you're the boss, you say, I don't like it. I don't like the way this mirror works. It's, you know, it just doesn't sing for me. Could you try designing a different mirror and taking the mirror right out of the computer screen and augmenting it onto this automobile, obstructing or occluding the one that's there, to show me how the physical automobile would look with the new digital mirror installed on it? Very interesting concept. That's not so much IoT, but a good example of an engineering design use case using augmented reality to bring data off the screen into the physical world.
I bet this is of super value in the training field when people are trying to train. Have you seen any applications of that?
Yeah, both training and operations. But there are many cases either in service, you know, aftermarket service, or in manufacturing where you have people that need to do something complex that they either have never done before or haven't done for a while, and you need to step them through the process, either ahead of time for training or in the moment for documentation and certainty that they did all the steps and did them in the right order. And so if we think of an automobile parked in front of us that has a problem, thanks to IoT, I know what the problem is. Thanks to AR, I can show you how to fix it.
See, that is great. If anyone wants to look this up, what is the website for PTC?
PTC.com. Very simple.
Wow, that's a tough one. And then you had this one article in the HBR, Manager's Guide to Augmented Reality. How could people, if they want to, you know, get a copy of that, how do they
get
it?
Yeah, they can find that article on our website at PTC.com. It's pretty obvious when you get there.
Okay. We have been speaking with Jim Heppelman, the CEO of PTC, a company with about 6,000 employees. And when we come back, we're going to talk about healthcare, which everyone is talking about, and how the Internet of Things and augmented reality can help in healthcare. Back in a few. This is Robert Reese. We're here today with Ralph De La Vega, CEO of AT&T Mobility. You did a merger of 60,000 employees in 19 days. Talk about that.
The DOJ and the FCC gave us the approval on October the 26th. We had to get the companies to operate as one by November the 15th, right before the heavy Thanksgiving holidays, which is when sales activity picks up for wireless in the fourth quarter. So we had to make a call. Can we merge these two companies? Can these people act as one? 60,000 people in 19 days, even though we didn't know each other. Our chief executive at the time, Stan Sigmund, asked me, Ralph, do you think you can do it? I said, 19 days, but not a minute less.
The analyst said it wouldn't work.
Not only did we do the merger in 19 days, but in the critical fourth quarter, when the analyst said that we were going to lose lines, we had a record number of customer additions in the fourth quarter. In fact, we had the largest number of customer net additions in the history of wireless in the fourth quarter for the U.S.
Thanks, Ralph. This is Robert Reese. Today we spoke with Ralph De La Vega of AT&T Mobility about how having the right plan and a passionate team can accomplish what others say can't be done.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Can somebody help me? I think my air conditioner's dying.
Nurse, I need a compressor and a condenser coil. Stat.
Sounds serious.
Doctor, it's losing pressure, and the blower motor is unresponsive.
Sounds expensive.
That depends. Do you have an American Home Shield home warranty?
No.
Well, then I'm afraid I have some bad news.
Before your next home system and appliance breakdown, be sure you call American Home Shield. We help cover the cost when major components of up to 21 home systems and appliances die. Either we'll come to your home and repair them, or we'll replace them, no matter their age, including your AC, washer, oven, electrical, and plumbing. For a free quote, call 1-800-700-4350. Be sure your budget's protected. Be sure with the Shield, American Home Shield. For a free quote on flexible plans to meet your needs and budget, call 1-800-700-4350. That's 1-800-700-4350.
Limitations and exclusions apply. See plan for details.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hello. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Greece on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Jim Heppelman, the CEO of PTC. Good to have you back.
Yep, it's great to be here.
So let's talk about healthcare. Impacts everyone about, $3 trillion of the economy, 17.8% of the GDP. How can the Internet of Things and augmented reality working together positively impact healthcare? Or can it not?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's one of the hottest fields, really, for both of those technologies. So maybe I'll take it in two stabs. One is equipment, and the other is people. So on the equipment side, I can monitor, for example, diagnostics machines. So let's say I make diagnostics machines. They're implemented at clinics or hospitals all over the world. I can make sure that all this equipment is up and running. I can anticipate if there's going to be a problem and intervene so that that problem doesn't happen. You know, it's very bad when this equipment fails in the moment, unexpectedly, because there's a whole lineup of patients who are supposed to be processed today, and now we can't. So using IoT, I can monitor a fleet of diagnostics equipment. And then if I find a problem and have to send a technician there, I can use augmented reality to show the technician what to do when he gets there and guide him actually through the repair process that would help us to avoid that problem that I can see coming with IoT. Now let's switch gears to the people, the patient actually. There are some potential use cases here that are very interesting. Let's take a patient who goes through a diagnostic machine like a CAT scan or MRI type machine. We now have a model of what's inside that human. But when I look at the human, I can't see it. I have to look at a computer screen, and I see a representation on the computer screen of that patient. What if I could lift that data and overlay it wearing smart glasses on the person? So when I look at the person, I see the person wearing the MRI data.
Wow.
And it's all in exactly the right place. I mean, how powerful is that concept to help a doctor really get to the point?
I just want to ask you quickly about glasses, because I've spoken to CEOs like Jay Walker, the founder of Priceline, has more, I think, inventions and patents than anyone in America. And he's told me the next thing is going to be completely glasses.
It is.
That was actually in your article, too.
Yes, yes. Let's take a detour for a minute. Think of hearing aids. So a hearing aid takes the sound waves coming to you. It does some digital pre-processing. It hides background noise. It amplifies foreground noise. And it passes those modified sound waves into your ear. And now you can hear things you otherwise couldn't hear, particularly if you have a hearing problem. So let's think about smart glasses. They're the same concept, which is we take light waves coming in, we intercept them, modify them a little bit to add digital content into them, and pass the modified light wave into your eyeball. So what you see now is a combination of the real world, but with digital information added into it. So when I put on those smart glasses and look at the patient, I see the patient wearing the MRI scan, right? Because I augmented the MRI scan into my view of the patient using the smart glasses. It's an amazing concept that's going to revolutionize the world.
That is really exciting. But let's take the average CEO. So the CEO hears this, and they're wondering, how does this impact my business? How should CEOs think about augmented reality?
Yeah, I mean, using some of the frameworks from my friend Michael Porter, competitive advantage really has two legs. One is in your offering, how distinctive and differentiated is your offering. And the second one is in your operations, how operationally efficient are you in what you do in your engineering, manufacturing, service, you know, finance ranks. And AR and IoT affect both of them. First of all, we can build products that have capabilities that were not previously possible. So on the offering side, you have an opportunity to do some amazing, value-creating, differentiating things with your products. And there's some great examples. Accuvane is a medical device company that augments data onto the patient so you know where to do the vein stick and you won't miss. Because it's sensing the skin temperatures, calculating where the veins are, augmenting the view right under the patient's arm. You draw blood, never missing the vein because you know exactly where it is. Now in your operations, because we can supply information to people so much more efficiently, in general, human activities are about 30% more efficient. 30 to 50, but nearly everybody reports 30% efficiency. So now you get the job done faster, less manpower, more accurate, fewer mistakes. So tremendous operational efficiencies to complement what you could do with new products and new offerings. So I think it's pretty profound impact potentially for a lot of companies.
What is the first step for a CEO?
Yeah, I think the first step is to get educated. You know, the articles Professor Porter and I wrote.
Read your article. I got that. Any other ones?
Play with the technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's
although reading your article is actually a very good start because it's very simplistic, organized.
Yeah, we try to lay it out at the level of HBR, you know, which is a business level for executives. But play with the technology. You know, have a group ramp up some demonstration scenarios. It doesn't cost much, and it's just eye-opening. You know, the idea of augmenting an MRI. Well, the first time you put on a HoloLens and you realize I can see digital information when I look at physical things, it's then just a step to say, could I take the MRI and put it on the patient? Yeah, of course. So I think it's hard to talk about this stuff. You need to experience it. And so I'd say, go get some demos. You know, have your people gen up some concepts. Come see us if you need to. We'd be happy to show you.
BTC.com, right?
BTC.com.
Okay, we have 2 minutes left. Let's switch gears to leadership. So when you took over in 2010 as CEO, you've been here since 1998, and the company has really turned around, best company to work for, all these types of lists. Talk about your leadership philosophy and specifically what you did.
Yeah, well, the board charged me with fixing the profitability and fixing the growth rate. You know, that's all I had to do. But I think I saw, because I have a technical background, I saw some amazing new technologies that, in my mind, were adjacent to the technologies we already had. And I said, I think we can leverage our way into these adjacent markets. A lot of people said, I don't think I see it. But I did. I was very compelled, passionate about it. You know, I think a measure of a good leader is whether they have good followers. And at PTC, we have a lot of people who are super excited about what we're doing. So I think I was a visionary and a cheerleader and a change agent to try to get people to want to change and to feel good about this particular change and to leave the inertia behind and really come to work and do something different and try to make a new company, you know, out of what we started with.
If you had one sentence that would summarize and codify your leadership philosophy, what would that one sentence be?
You know, be real. Nobody gives more demonstrations of what's possible in this company than me. And it's because I want to show the employees, the customers, everybody that this is something that's going to be amazing. I need to show it to you. When you see it, you're going to be surprised. You're going to want to, you know, be a customer, be an employee, you know, come work for us or buy from us. So I think I'm trying to be the passionate leader, demonstrating what's possible and making people want to come along for the ride.
And there you have it. Jim, a pleasure having you on the CEO Forum.
Great. Thank you, Rob.
Hi, Robert Rees here. Welcome to the CEO Show. Each week, we interview the top CEOs in America so you can learn directly about success in business. To hear any one of our 750 past CEO interviews, just go to CEOshow.com.
you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. Exclusions apply.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO11 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO11 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO11 to 350350.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Forum. This week, you'll learn with over 500,000 listeners the secrets of success from top CEOs. No sound bites, no gotchas. Instead, you'll hear direct insights, stories, and wisdom on personal leadership and on growing your business. Unfiltered and straight from the most successful CEOs. Hope you enjoy. And if you miss a CEO interview, you can hear any on our website, www.ceoforum.ceo. Hi, this is Robert Brees on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Matt Bershadker. How are you, Matt?
I'm well, Robert. How are you?
Good. And Matt is the CEO of ASPCA, founded in 1866, transformative, venerable organization with a critical mission. Talk about what the organization was then and what it is today.
Sure. The ASPCA, as you know, was the first animal welfare organization in the Western Hemisphere. We really birthed the entire animal welfare movement. So all the agencies that came after us were inspired by our founder, Henry Berg. And today, you know, we've had lots of evolution, of course, over that 150-plus years. And today, what we have really honed in on is we have recognized the power of the human-animal bond and how intertwined they are. And when you help an animal, you're actually helping a person. When you're helping a person, you're improving a community. And a lot of our work is driven in that space.
And you and I were speaking earlier, and I asked, how do you galvanize all of your team? You know, you've over 1,000 employees.
Sure.
You said,
it's the animals.
Yeah.
It's the animals. And it actually, it sounds like a cop-out, but it's not, because to the person, people are attracted to the ASPCA, whether they're full-time staff or volunteers, because they're inspired to help animals, because they understand the power of that relationship and how much their life is improved when an animal's in it. And a lot of the work, as I was saying when we opened, that we have begun to focus on is keeping people and pets together. What can we do to keep animals out of the shelter, right? For so many years, our movement was focused on how do we increase adoptions out of the shelter. And a few years ago, we had this aha moment where we realized, wait a second. Rather than trying to get animals out of a shelter, let's stop them from going into the shelter in the first place. Let's figure out why they're in the shelter and what strategies can we put in place to keep those animals in the home. And that's really a twofer, right? Because if we keep an animal in the home, that family stays together, right? And the shelter is able to focus its limited resources on the animals that truly need to be there. Those that are victims of cruelty, and we see some horrific things in this business, as I'm sure you can imagine, and those that are temporarily separated from their owners.
So what led you to going into the preventative model?
So it was really the evolution of our space, right? We got to a time in our movement where we had really the breathing room to stand up and look back and say, all right, let's not deal with the consequences of cruelty and homelessness. Let's look at the causes. Let's get to the root causes and understand why those animals are in the shelter and address that rather than addressing the shelter population. And it really was lots of work, lots of strategic work, lots of tactical work. So one of the things that we did that helped us get here was tons and tons and tons of high-volume spay-neuter. Reduce the population, prevent the animals from being born. We're talking primarily of dogs and cats here. And once we did that, for really decades, we got the population to a place where we can begin to focus on the root causes. So one of the other things we began to look at, and this is a program that I'm really excited about, is the rehabilitation, the psychological rehabilitation of animals who have been victims of abuse. We know how to fix physically almost anything somebody does to an animal. And as I said a moment ago, we see some horrific things. Cats lit on fire, dogs thrown out of off rooftops. We can fix them physically, but can we fix them mentally? And we need to apply the same rigor, right? The same investment in helping them heal psychologically. So we were working a cruelty case, a puppy mill case in Kentucky. And because the forfeiture laws in Kentucky were so weak, we had to hold these dogs in a temporary facility. Imagine a warehouse with lots of cages, some play areas. We had to hold them during the pendency of the case. During that time, we, of course, provide them with lots of enrichment to improve their quality of life. What we saw is we saw them beginning to heal psychologically. We saw them being more social. We saw them seeking interaction with people, right? All the behaviors that you need to be successful on an adoption center floor. And we thought to ourselves, and nonprofits are discouraged from doing this because we're discouraged from taking risks because we're held to artificial ratios, what amount of money goes to the animals versus what amount of money goes to overhead. But we thought to ourselves, what if we took a few $100,000, right, and invested it in addressing the psychological side of abuse and neglect? Can these animals that have poor prognosis for adoption actually heal? And we set out to save 50%. So we set up a pilot program.
Year was this?
This was 2014 in New Jersey. We set up a pilot program. We said about 100% of these animals would have been euthanasia candidates. We're talking about dogs only. Let's see if we can save 50%. We saved over 85%.
Really? And it was all through psychological, how the dogs were being treated, and that's why they were misbehaving, and they were being euthanized because of that. They're being killed because
right.
of that. But it was actually the fault of the shelters often.
Not the shelters.
Or the place where they were abused.
The puppy.
And it was a mental issue.
Exactly.
It wasn't a physical issue.
So the Animal Welfare Act allows... So let me paint a picture of a puppy mill for you. A puppy mill was permissible by the Animal Welfare Act... is a cage that's only 6 inches larger than the dog in every direction.
Oh.
That dog never needs to get out of that cage. In the worst scenarios, Robert, they're stacked cage upon cage upon cage with feces and urine possibly raining down on the dog below. And that's permissible. And the dogs that you see in pet stores very, very likely came from that environment. So the dogs that we seized were the breeding stock of a puppy mill. So they were scared. They had never felt grass before. They had never felt the human touch before. You threw a ball, they didn't know what to do. Right? So we said, let's see if we can help these animals recover. And we had this incredible success, right? So armed with that data over a four-year period, we had maintained that success over a four-year period. I went to my board of directors, asked for about $10 million, bought 13 acres in Weaverville, North Carolina. And this month, later this month, we're going to open the first ever behavioral rehabilitation center in Weaverville that's not only going to heal these animals, but the kicker to this and how we're going to pay it forward is it's a teaching facility. It's designed to bring in shelter staffs, rescue center staffs from around the country so they can come and learn the techniques that we've learned to recover these animals because they're dealing with these same behaviors in their shelters and they can go back and teach and do this in their shelter and teach the surrounding facilities.
See, ultimate leverage model.
Totally.
You could change all of America because
totally,
of this.
Totally. We do this with behavior, or we're starting to do this with behavior. We also do this with high volume surgical techniques. The ASPCA Spay-Neuter Alliance is one of the few places, in fact, in the world where vet students and veterinarians can come and learn high-volume spay-neuter techniques, surgical techniques, and go back. And in many of these instances, in fact, about 159 instances, veterinarians have gone out and started self-sustaining nonprofit spay-neuter clinics in their communities. So that's another way how we pay it forward. And one other program that I'm really proud of is our forensics program. We have a slew of forensic veterinarians, who actually lift evidence off of the victims of cruelty and provide that evidence to DAs around the country so that DAs can bring effective prosecutions. So in 2014, we entered into a partnership with the New York City Police Department.
Right.
So for 147 years, Robert, for 147 years, we enforced cruelty one way. We had a team of agents who were empowered. And they responded to abuse cases. We thought, wait a second, this is a 147-year-old strategy. Surely there's a better way to do this. We approached Commissioner Ray Kelly. He thought it was a good idea, and we began this partnership. Commissioner Bratton embraced it, and so did Commissioner O'Neill. We have seen a triple-digit increase in the number of arrests, a triple-digit increase in the number of animals being helped by our animal hospital, and that's where these forensic veterinarians come in. I've had detectives comment to me that the veterinary reports that they get from our guys are better than the reports they get from the medical examiner's office in New York City.
This is Robert Rees on the CEO Forum, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Matt Bershadker, who is the CEO of ASPCA, and we've just heard about a tremendous new concept to leverage and pay it forward and really remove cruelty throughout all of America. If someone wants to get involved, what is the website they would go to?
They would go to ASPCA.org.
Yeah, we probably could have figured that out. We have about 1 minute left. You were about to say.
So the one thing I'd like to speak to, I'd like to share, and some of the way we've experienced great growth at the ASPCA is by achieving philosophical alignment, strategic alignment, and creating a culture that drives success and delivers on the promises we've made both to our staff and to our different constituents, both our donors and the people who utilize our services.
This is Robert Rees on the CEO Forum. We're speaking with the CEO of ASPCA. When we come back, we're going to hear about your leadership philosophy in expanding the organization. Back in a few.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Craig Sammet, Chief Clinical Officer from Anthem. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time, but some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why the Anthem Foundation supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740.
800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Forum, and we're here today with Matt Bershadker, who is the CEO of ASPCA. Matt, you became CEO in 2013 after joining in 2001, and you've already talked about this tremendous new program you have in rehabilitation. Let's go into your leadership philosophy. What was the state of ASPCA when you came here after being here for 12 years, and now you had to lead the organization forward?
So admittedly, the organization was somewhat siloed when I took over, and I was able to see that because I suffered in that silo, and I suffered in the conflict that that created and the inefficiency that that created. So one of the first things I set out to do was to smash those silos and to integrate the organization for the collective return, to leverage the return for the animals, for our beneficiaries. And the way I did that was to create a very clear vision. And I believe that you cannot tell your team the vision for the organization enough. At every opportunity, you need to tell people where we're going and why we're going there and how we're going to get there. And how we get there is by creating, as I said a moment ago, philosophical alignment, right? And from philosophical alignment, you get strategic alignment, right? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? What do we want the world to look like for animals? And what is our role, the ASPCA's role, in getting there? From there, you really have to empower your lieutenants and give them the autonomy and the authority to execute against that vision and that strategy, and then be there to help them problem solve and be there to be a thought partner for them when conflicts arise and when opportunities arise, and recognizing which ones we're going to seize.
Are there any unique practices you have in galvanizing your senior executive team? You're talking about removing silos. Most CEOs I know want to remove the silos, but the question is how, and they're looking for best practices.
So one of the things that we've recently engaged in as a leadership team is we hired a coach, a guy named Jim Catalano. I don't mind giving him a plug on the show. He's fantastic.
I think he'll like it too.
And he put us all through a Hogan, which is essentially a personality assessment, and it allows us to align on our strengths and our weaknesses, and most importantly, it allows us to see who we are as a collective group, so we can watch out for where are our potential liabilities as a group, so we can guard against those. It also helps us identify strengths so we can build on those strengths. And that's one of the things that I would recommend for any leader, is to really understand the profile, the personality of your lieutenants and the personality of your team as a group. Because if you're really going to function as a high-level group, you need to know your strengths and you need to know your potential liabilities. We also need to equip communities to solve the problems that they're facing. We talked about this earlier. That's the Behavioral Rehabilitation Center. That's the ASPCA Spay-Neuter Alliance. That's the forensics program. We're giving tools to other animal welfare advocates or constituents and helping them solve those problems. And then, most importantly, Robert, we need to use those things, that equipping and that intervention, the evidence, the information that we get from that, to drive policy change, whether that's corporate policy change or whether that's municipal or governmental policy change. And then when you get the policy change, you have more tools at your disposal to go after those individuals who are abusing animals. Here's an example for you. We do a lot of work on dogfighting. Dogfighting is one of the most heinous things you will ever witness in your life. And we were constantly seeing minors at dogfights. So we went to the feds and we said, listen, we need to make it illegal to bring minors to a dogfight. So now it's illegal to bring a minor to a dogfight. Now law enforcement has another tool at their disposal, which encourages them to be more aggressive in eradicating this activity.
So you're helping along the whole continuum.
Sure. One of the other examples of using this direct intervention, this evidence that we find to create change or to provide people with more tools, is a forensic veterinarian of ours, Dr. Rachel Trow, did a study on scarring associated with fighting dogs. So what would happen is a dog fighter would get on the stand, and Robert, he would say, oh, no, I'm not a dog fighter. I'm a breeder, and my dogs just got out. It was a yard fight. But we know, based on the condition that that animal was seized in, based on where he or she was seized, and based on the scarring pattern on his face and torso, that this is a fighting dog. So what she did is she painstakingly compared dogs that were known fighting dogs and their scar patterns, their bite patterns, with spontaneous dogfights. And what you see is a very distinct pattern, right?
Really?
So a dog that just gets into a fight in a dog park is going to bite a dog. There's normally going to be bites on the hind end because one dog's retreating. Dog that's in a dogfight, there's virtually no bites on the hind end. So now we have this white paper that was published in the Journal of American Veterinary Medicine that says, wait a second, dogs that have this bite pattern are fighting dogs. Dogs that have this bite pattern have gotten to a spontaneous fight. So that's another example of us taking that evidence and creating a tool for greater impact.
And on greater impact, I know you have this special program in terms of disasters.
Yes.
That animals are staying in the house, and that's leading people to. Describe this whole circle that occurs and how you're trying to break the circle.
Sure. So, you know, pets are part of the family, right? We know that. The pet industry is a $70 billion industry, right? So people are reluctant, understandably so, to leave their animals during times of disaster. So we've tried through both electronic means and other means to prepare people during times of disaster. Essentially have a pet go bag, a picture of your pet, any medications that he or she may need, dog food, water. So when a disaster comes, you're prepared. Also understand or know in your community which shelter is going to co-house. There are shelters that will co-house with pets. Now, you might not get to sleep with your pet as you would at home, but in that facility there's going to be a space for your pets. So we get all that information out beforehand. We train local county disaster response teams and state disaster response teams so we can help them when disasters come and respond.
And then you don't have the problem of people staying in their house in a tornado because they want to be with their pet because they don't know what to do.
Now they know what to do, they have the equipment, and they know where to go, right? Now, obviously, you still get some people staying, and that's a problem, right? Because it puts that individual at risk, it puts the animal at risk, and it puts the rescuer at risk.
I liked when you talked about non-for-profits having courage.
Mm-hmm.
What is your vision for non-for-profits in America?
So I think oftentimes this entire sector gets forgotten. We are here to solve many of the social ills that the private sector is not equipped or designed to solve, and the government sector either is reluctant to or can't for whatever reasons. So my vision really is that the nonprofit sector is given its due respect as an economic engine and as a problem solver. And I think what we're seeing is the nonprofit sector get that respect. The resumes that I get are resumes that are competitive anywhere in any landscape. Most of my senior leadership team has come to us from the for-profit sector, from big law firms or from big consulting firms. They are coming to this sector.
Well, I can imagine what a great place to work.
As I said when we were warming up, I have the best job in the country, and I think this is a fantastic place to work because we provide a culture that challenges you, that develops you, and that allows you to work on an issue that, as I was saying a little while ago, not only are you helping animals, you're helping people. You know, absent the dogfighter, absent the horrific individual action.
30 seconds left.
So absent these things, we really are talking about helping people keep their pets and responsibly care for them.
And there you have it. We've been on the CEO Forum. Matt, great having you on the show.
Robert, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps. The ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.